with you. We are in 1 Peter. We've been doing a series called Here, There, which the whole series centers around this idea that as Christians, we are part of two worlds at once. And so we've been looking at areas where our lives here intersect with the fact that we belong there. Parts of life where what we do here connects with who we are there. And in no area is this more true than the home and marriage and the husband and wife relationship. Throughout Scripture, God uses marriage and the husband and wife relationship as a picture, as an example of our relationship with Him. Here's the challenge. So often, what we want and what we feel here goes in the opposite direction of who God calls us to be there. You know, what I want as a husband and who God has called me to be as a follower of Christ sometimes pull in very different directions. And so it is often in this, the fire and the furnace of marriage, where a lot of the formation of Christian character is formed and forged. This morning we come to a passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 where Peter talks directly to wives and then directly to husbands. And this has become a challenging passage because so often what God has called us to be is so different from what our culture tells us. And even as Christians, we are so influenced by our culture, more than we could ever realize or imagine. And so this passage has become, I think, one of the most misunderstood, misapplied, and misused passages of Scripture. And I recognize that as a pastor and as a man, when I get up and I speak from 1 Peter 3 to talk about what God says to wives, there is a danger that someone might not hear what I'm saying and ultimately hear what God is saying because of some of the cultural trappings around this. And so as I approach this passage, you can either say that this is a decision of wisdom or that I'm just a wimp. Either way is okay with me. But I thought it would be a good idea to have a godly woman come in and talk about what Peter says to wives here. So I've asked my mother-in-law, Anna Shaw, if she would share with you all today, because she's been a follower of Christ for many decades, and she has attempted to live out God's call for wives for more than 50 years. Who better to share with you than that? So what we're going to do here is we're going to read the Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3, the first several verses, and then I'm going to turn it over to my mother-in-law. Now, I realize the last thing most husbands want to hear is a sermon from their mother-in-law, and I've actually asked for this, so I guess I get whatever I deserve, Mom. But 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll read what Peter says to wives here. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. So, Mom, I'll turn it over to you.
Like he said, we've been married for 50 years, and 51 to be exact. When we were meeting with the pastor before we got married, and you're supposed to have those little counseling sessions, Well, we had ours. And Henry was the pastor, good friend of ours, good Christian man in the ministry for years. And I, in all of my wisdom of 20 years, said, I really want to skip that obey part in the vows. Can we just drop that? And like all good pastors, bless him, he opened scripture and started reading to me. Never guessed what he went to. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. I mean, I could argue with Henry. I could argue with my husband. I mean, after all, I'm 20. I'm an adult. I'm in college. I don't have to obey anymore. I mean, that's for little kids and their parents. It's not for wives. Right? Wrong. Oh, well. I know he just read it, but I'm going to read it again. It says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not know the word or obey, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning of the external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or your clothes that you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable, beautiful, and gentle and quiet spirit, which is God's sight, is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Submission is a choice. Not an easy one sometimes, but one that we are told to do. In ancient Greece, women were considered inferior to men, or to animals, or to whatever. Aristotle viewed women somewhere between slaves and free men, were wives of lives of seclusion and slavery, basically. In Rome, wives were truly second-class persons. They were even lower than their mistresses, if you can believe. Now, the Jewish opinion of womanhood during the time of Christ was strongly influenced by these heathen beliefs and cultures, and it was only slightly better. For example, a male's morning prayer would be, thanks to be to God that I am not a Gentile nor a slave nor a woman. Earlier, under the law of Moses, practically speaking, wives and mothers were considered with greatest dignity. Mothers were to be honored, as it said in Exodus 20:12, and to rebel against or show disrespect for your mother was a most serious offense, which could be punished by death. And Jesus did much in his day to raise the view of women through his teaching and his show of fair play with women. And all of this is to say that the Middle Eastern culture, submission to one's husband was expected and obedience was the rule, whether you were a husband or not. Do you wonder why Peter and Paul seem to give significance to this submission thing? When we were in Israel, we went to a ruin of an old temple, and in it were these beautiful mosaic floors. And you got part of the wall that was still standing, and they explained to us that the men met in the main room, the section of the center, and there they worshiped God, and they met with their leaders. But, you know, the women could come as Christian women, and they could sit up in the balcony or stand up in the balcony. And here it says, these new converts, new converts to Christianity, the ladies, they kind of slipped up on that submission thing. They would attend church with their father, their husbands, but some of the wives got so excited, they started shouting out questions. What did that teaching mean? Husband, tell me what that was. Well, this upset the church leaders and embarrassed the husband. And so Paul instructed the wives to be silent in the church. And if they wished to learn more, they were to ask their husbands once they got home. Peter is telling them that they want to win their husbands to Christ, they must continue to submit to God and to the God-given authority given to husbands, even if they're unbelievers. He says the proper behavior to win your husbands to Christ is not found in words, but in deeds. The scripture says, without a word, by the conduct of their wives, they would see your respectful and pure conduct. Peter says they should demonstrate this newfound faith by engaging in deeds that demonstrate their respect and faithfulness to their husbands. Just as we should show respect for those civil authorities and employers, wives should show appropriate respect for their husbands, whether they are believers or not. Esther was a good example of this. She was a Jewish. She was a true believer, and she was married to in an arranged marriage while the Jews were in exile in Persia to King Xerxes, who was an unbeliever. And Esther was not allowed to even enter the king's presence unless requested to do so by the king. And she respected the edict until she was forced to make a decision. She had learned of a plot to sell the whole Jewish race and annihilate them. She didn't let this happen. She girded up her loins. She met with her ladies in waiting with her. They prayed, they fasted, and then she went before the king, knowing that if he did not raise his scepter to her, she would be killed. But she felt that it was so important that she couldn't put it off. Now, when she got there, she didn't make her request immediately. Instead, to quote my mother-in-law, she buttered up her husband. And she went before the king, and he accepted her. And so then she invited him to a series of banquets. And her submissive attitude and her gentleness, when she was, got him buttered up good, she was able to ask him her request. And listen how she words this. If I have found favor with the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my request, I want to ask for my life and the lives of my people be spared. For my people and I have been sold to those who could kill, slaughter, and annihilate us. If we had merely been sold as slaves, I could have remained quiet, for that would have been a trivial thing to bother the king about. Girl is good. What will attract an unbelieving husband is not mere outer beauty with the embellishments which the world considers valuable, but rather the inner beauty and the gentle and quiet spirit which God considers valuable. It is not just spending more time in the beauty shop or finding the right dress or the flashiest jewelry. In verse 3 it says, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of your hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothes you wear." You know, the media today tells us, ladies, that we need longer, fuller eyelashes. We have to have flawless skin, radiant complexion, perfectly colored hair that floats
in slow motion as we turn our heads.
And, of course, we have to have name brand clothing stitched on the back of the pocket. There is nothing wrong with dressing up, fixing your hair, wearing some jewelry to please your husband. He will appreciate it. Peter is saying that in order to win him to Christ, you can't spend all of your time focusing on the outer appearance. And it goes on to say that the beauty is submission is, it is in cultivating your inner life with Christ in order to develop a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is valuable to God. We ladies need to lean on God, face His authority within our marriages, and be the gentle soul that our husbands need. There's going to be times when he comes home from work, he's had a horrible day. You are his quiet place, his special place. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart and the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is God in God's sight, is very precious. These inner qualities you develop in prayer with God, in the study of His Word, in the choices you make when you experience temptation or go through trials and persecutions. Let God go with you, and later, in years to come, on into eternity. Billy Graham was once asked, "What would you like to have put on your tombstone?" He said, "He was faithful." He didn't care about the notoriety of the world. He didn't care about what other people thought. He wanted them to know he was faithful to God. A person with a peaceful spirit is calm and tranquil, not restless or rebellious, not disturbing or insubordinate. For the sake of winning her unbelieving husband to Christ, she has learned to bring her personality under control and under God's control. In verse 5 it says, "For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. You demonstrate your trust in God when you follow the example of such behavior and beauty found in the lives of the faithful women of the Scriptures. Women in the Old Testament like Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, Rachel, Miriam, Deborah, Abigail, Ruth, Esther. These are all held up to us as examples for us, the modern women. Now, my mother made it abundantly clear that my father was the head of the home. She showed him respect and kindness before us and expected us to follow her example. My mother was a believer. My father was not. But she followed the scripture and tried to bring him closer to the kingdom. They both had faults and shortcomings, of course. But they taught us what selfless giving looked like. My father had a very bad background. And when he grew up and got out of the military, he vowed, and he made this known to others, that his family would never go to bed hungry. They would always have a safe place to come home to. He got a good job, and he kept it.
38 years at the same job. And he only retired after the 38 years because his health got bad and he was no longer able to go. But he was known to be the boss, in charge. Thank you, son. Now, his children knew, and so did all of our family and friends, that my mother was the leader in the house. She was the bookkeeper. She raised the children. She managed the house. She took care of my father. And she kept an eye on his escapades at the same time. But at all times, she wanted to show her family that she had faith in God, that she loved my father, and that she was always there for him. She wasn't the most gentle soul, but she spent every day of her life trying to be exactly what God wanted her to be. Ladies, I encourage you to follow Peter's words very closely. Be a woman of the word. Show respect to your husband. Live a life of selfless love. Be an example to your children. Let God be the authority in your daily life. And show faith in God and his leading. And show forth the beauty of God. Scriptures are sometimes kind of hard to take. I don't like that nasty word, obey. But our kids didn't either. But I do believe in God, and I believe in his infallible word. If we follow it, we're going to have a life of peace and tranquility and calm. We're going to bless our family with that kind of blessing. Thank you.
Husbands, don't worry. You get your turn next week. What I want to do to close this out, Jared, you can come on up and I'm just going to ask that you play something quietly in the background, and I want to take just a couple of minutes. Husbands, I want you to take a moment to pray for your wife. All right? If you're a single person here today, or whatever the situation might be, you're not married, that's okay. What I want you to do while we do this is lift up the marriages here in the church. Pray for the families that are here. And pray that God would keep these marriages strong and safe, and that husbands and wives would seek to be the people that God has called them to be. Because I believe that one of Satan's biggest strategies for attacking the church and attacking God's truth today is by attacking Christian homes and attacking Christian marriages. So, Jareth, if you would play, and his husbands, take a couple moments to pray for your wives this morning.